You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we focus on answering listener questions. And if you have a question for a future episode, I'll let you know how you can submit that when we get to the end. This is episode 14 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Recently, I was asked by a podcast listener about how to handle a particular situation in the local church where they were a member. And I'm not going to discuss that particular situation here on the podcast. However, one of the questions that came up in discussing the issue was whether it was a good idea to stay in that particular congregation or leave to go to another congregation. And it's that question that we're going to focus on, because that's not a question that only comes up in this listener's particular scenario and what they asked me about with the situation there, that congregation. Anytime there are difficult challenges or difficult situations or problems that affect our local churches, this is a question that we wonder about. We wonder if we should stay or if we should leave to go find another congregation, to be part of another group. And similarly, even if we aren't experiencing the challenges or problems like these in our local churches, we may still sometimes wonder if it would be better for us to leave and to go be part of another congregation, and there might be various reasons for that. And so in this episode, we're going to consider some principles that will hopefully help us answer our question. So the question we're going to be talking about is this: when is it time to leave a congregation? Now, as we talk about this, one thing that we need to understand, we're going to assume a couple things here, is that the congregation that we are a part of right now is a congregation like what you can read about with the churches in the New Testament. And the congregation we might consider going to is also a faithful congregation as it is designed in the New Testament. We're not talking about other churches that are outside of that category. If their church is following different doctrines and not patterned after the New Testament, well, if we're part of one of those churches, we don't need to stay there. And if the church we're thinking of going to is not patterned after the New Testament, we don't need to consider going there. And so we're making the assumption here that the congregation where we are, despite whatever problems may exist, is patterned after the New Testament. And the congregation that we might be considering going to is also patterned after the New Testament and is a faithful church. So that's where we're coming from with this question. So that's what we're talking about. When is it time to leave a congregation? First thing we need to understand is that this is a judgment call. There is no set list of criteria in the New Testament that would definitively indicate when it is time to leave a congregation. Now, there may be some situations that are more obvious that it's time for me to leave where I am to go somewhere else. False teaching that cannot be questioned or challenged. There could be abuse that's there of some kind. There could be factors that are there that make it more obvious that it is time to leave. But then there are other situations where there's not a clear-cut answer. Maybe the church is just lukewarm. Maybe there are some personality conflicts, like we can read about in Philippians chapter 4. That was a good church. And there was one thing, though, that Paul mentioned there with the church, that there was a couple women there who were having trouble getting along, at least at that time. It could be that because of the location of the congregation that we are a member of, compared to the location of the congregation that we might be considering going to. Maybe that's a factor. It's not faithfulness of one or the other. It's simply a matter of location. There are lots of other factors that may play into this that don't make it a clear-cut decision as far as, yes, I need to stay, or yes, I need to leave. And therefore, because of that, because this is a judgment call, we should not be quick to judge others who make a decision in regard to this question. We may have decided something differently than they did if we were in their situation, but we need to be careful not to judge others and say, well, they're wrong for staying there, or they're wrong for leaving there to go somewhere else. We need to be careful not to pass judgment. It also means we should not feel guilty for our decision whether to stay or to go, provided that we have made this decision carefully, with prayer, and in consideration of what the scriptures teach, that we're not just making a rush to judgment and not really considering anything and not considering some of the principles that we're going to talk about here. If we really are careful in making this decision and trying to come up with what is the best option, what is the best thing to do, we don't need to feel guilty for the decision that we made. It is possible, this is another thing to think about, it is possible, because this is a judgment call in many cases, that it's possible to leave a church with no problems and go to another church and do so without being guilty of sin. We can leave a church that there's no issues there, there's no problems there, and just because we leave to go to another church, provided the church we're going to is a sound, faithful church, like we talked about at the beginning, we can leave and go to that other church, and that doesn't mean we did something wrong. It doesn't mean we're guilty of sin. So that's what we need to understand as well. If someone leaves a congregation, doesn't mean they've sinned. It doesn't mean always that there's a problem with the church that they left. And so again, this is a judgment call. So we need to be careful in what we decide to do, and also be careful not to pass judgments on others when it is not a clear-cut decision, or right and wrong, in many of these situations. Second, this is not something that should be decided hastily. We've kind of hinted on that already. But this is not something that we should just be quick to say, well, I'm here and I'm just going to go over to this other congregation here. We sometimes hear about people who just bounce around from one congregation, one church to another. They're a member here for a little while, then they'll leave and go and be a member of another church, or maybe they never even place membership. We sometimes refer to this behavior, this type of person, as a church hopper, that they are church hopping. And where they go from one to another, they don't stay very long, they may or may not place membership, but often when they leave, it's not really for a good reason, some of the factors that we're going to talk about, or they don't stay long enough to really understand or really know if they can do good, and that congregation can be good for them, because they're not there long enough, and they can't get the benefit of a long-term relationship with those brethren. And so when we think about, well, is it time to leave or should I stay? We need to be careful. Don't make this decision hastily. We ought to, by default, we ought to be hesitant to leave our current congregation. This is not something that we should just be looking for any opportunity or any excuse to leave to go somewhere else. If we're a member of a local church, and we have fellowship there with other Christians, our first instinct or our first desire should not be I want to leave to go somewhere else. And the reason for that is because of the emphasis that is in the New Testament on the unity of brethren. And unity, we might say we have unity with all believers, or all Christians, regardless of where they are in the world. And that's true to an extent. But the unity we're talking about here and in these passages that we're going to read is unity within a local church, ones that we actually interact with, the ones that we actually have contact with and company with. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, it says, "But now there are many members, but one body." In verse 27, it says, "You are Christ's body and individually members of it." And in that passage, and we won't read all of the verses here, but that passage is talking about how the church And this is the local church, body that fits together, body that works together, has all of these different parts, but they all function together. All of the members are different parts of the body. We don't just take our arm off and the arm is going to go off and be part of someone else's body. That's not something that is just, well, you know, we're just going to do this and not really give much thought to it. That we are part of a body. So we have that unity there. We have that reliance upon one another. This should not be a quick decision, unless it's an extreme case where there is a case of abuse or a case of false teaching that is so blatant and will not be opposed or will not tolerate study or anything like that. Unless it's a case like that, we should be very hesitant and slow to make a decision to leave that church because we're part of that body. Paul used the same language over in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 16, where he says, "From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." The whole body is working together, each individual part. We are part of that. We're one of those individual parts. And we're there to cause the or help cause the growth of the body. That others depend on us. That we have a role in that. And also the passage in Romans chapter, or excuse me, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it talks about how we are to stimulate or to provoke one another to love and good deeds. And how do we do that? Well, it's not by forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but by encouraging one another. So we come together, we assemble together, we are encouraging or provoking one another to love and good deeds. We are helping one another get better and to do better and to keep the faith. And so the body, the local church there, is designed to be a unit. It's designed to be a body that functions together, where the members work together and rely on one another. And so we need to be hesitant to leave. That should be the natural state that we are in, is that we are hesitant to leave. Because if there are problems then, and we are part of that body, we might be able to stay and help. We might be able to help move through those problems. I mentioned at the beginning, you have the two women in Philippians chapter 4 who had some conflict between one another. And Paul told the brethren, you help them live in harmony. Well, what if other people just saw, well, you have these two women who are bickering and they can't get along. Well, they leave because of that problem in that church. Well, who's left to help those women be able to get along and to iron out their differences and to be at peace again with one another? If there are problems, we may be able to stay and help. And if we leave, we're not in a position to do that. Also, every church is going to have some problems spring up from time to time. The church that we are in right now is going to. If we think about leaving to go to another congregation, we may not be aware of any problems, but there will be problems there too, that we're going to experience that as well, because every church is made up of fallible human beings, that we all sin, we all make mistakes, we all offend one another or take offense when we shouldn't at different times. And so there are always going to be, at different times, problems in the church. And so we think, well, you know, I'm experiencing this here, and so I'm going to go over to this congregation over here. Well, maybe we won't avoid problems over there. Maybe we could have worse problems over there. We should not think that, well, if I can leave here, then I'm going to go to a church and I'm not going to experience any problems. That's just not the case. Every church is going to experience some problem. We don't want to be one of those church hoppers that we're here and we see a problem, so we're just going to go somewhere else. And we're there 6 months, or we're there for a year, and when another problem comes up, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. This is more of a temptation when you have an area where there are many congregations. It's less of a temptation when you are living in an area where their congregations are more spread out They're fewer in number. You generally have less people church hopping. But if you have several congregations in a city or in a county, and you have half a dozen or more churches where you're within 20 or 30 minutes drive from them, and some places it's a lot more than that, then it is a temptation. You could just jump from church to church. Anytime some conflict comes up, anytime some trouble comes up, just go and move along to the next one. Because every church at some point is going to face some type of trouble. And so we don't need to make this decision quickly or hastily or without consideration. So there are some questions that we need to think about. Questions that will help us try to make the best decision. Again, as we said at the beginning, this is, to a lot of degree, a judgment call. And so we need to be careful not to rush to judgment, but we also need to exercise wisdom as much as we can. So there are a few questions for us to consider about our current congregation. If we're thinking about leaving to go somewhere else, we need to ask some questions to evaluate the congregation where we are currently members. One, if I stay, will I have fellowship with a false teacher or false teachers? Because John wrote over in 2 John that we are not to have fellowship with those who teach error, with those who bring a different doctrine. He said in 2 John verses 9 through 11, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. If you have someone who goes beyond the doctrine of Christ, and you welcome them, you have fellowship with them, well, then you have fellowship with darkness. You receive him, you have fellowship, you participate in his evil deeds. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the first time the preacher says something you disagree with, that you think is wrong, that, well, now it's time to leave. Because there may be a chance to ask questions, to study. Maybe you misunderstood what he said. Maybe he misspoke. Maybe he was wrong and he realizes he was wrong and have time to repent and to make correction. And that's certainly a possibility. But we need to answer this question. If I stay, will I have fellowship with a false teacher? Another question, if I stay, will I be in fellowship with those who refuse to repent? The situation in Corinth that's described in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 was that you had a man there who was living in sin and up to that point would not repent of that sin. And the brethren in Corinth were willing to welcome him anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 1 and 2, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. There are a lot of churches that are like the church in Corinth, where they are arrogant about how tolerant they are. Think, well, you know, we're willing to overlook all these things. And here you have someone who's, yeah, he's doing this, and he shouldn't be doing this, but we are willing to overlook that. We are willing to welcome him. That's an arrogant, that's not the tolerance the way it's described in the Bible. That's arrogance. Think that, well, look at how great we are. We're willing to overlook this. Well, Paul said in verse 11, actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Don't think, well, look how great we are that we're willing to welcome him. Paul says you shouldn't welcome him. Don't even eat with him. You're trying to get him to repent. And you have churches in that are described, or the church in Revelation chapter 2, where the Lord, through John, addressed the seven churches of Asia. You have the church at Pergamum. And the Lord told them in Revelation 2 and verse 14, I have a few things against you because there are some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who keep teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. So you also have some in the same way who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent, or else I am coming to you quickly. I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Here you have people who were off in error. Error that was shown in the way that they were conducting themselves and the sins that they were committed. I'm going to make war with them. If you don't repent, I am coming, Jesus said, and I'm going to oppose you. We are not to have fellowship with those who refuse to repent. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but expose them, Ephesians 5, verse 11. So that's the question, that if I stay, will I be in fellowship with those who refuse to repent? Another question to ask, if we're thinking about a current congregation, the church that we are in now, if there are problems that exist there, and that's why we're thinking of leaving, is it reasonable to believe that the current problems can be resolved? Maybe there's someone who has taught something that's wrong. Maybe that there's been someone who's been invited for a gospel meeting, and he comes in and is teaching something that's wrong. Maybe there's someone like the church at Corinth. He's in sin, and he refuses to repent. Other problems that may exist, personality conflicts, you have lukewarmness, like the church at Laodicea. Maybe there are different problems. Is it reasonable to think that the current problems can be resolved? Are brethren open to correction? Are they open to improvement? Are they willing to try to do better? And they just got caught up in this sin or stuck in this rut of spiritual stagnation. Is it reasonable to think that the problem can be fixed? And if so, am I able to be part of that solution? Am I able to help things? If it's reasonable that things could be fixed, am I able to contribute to that? Am I in a position to do that? Those are some things that we need to think about when we are thinking of leaving the church where we are because there are problems that exist. These are things we need to think about. These are questions we need to be able to answer, and we shouldn't make the decision to leave and just run away from a problem without first thinking of these questions. And then there are questions to consider in comparing congregations. If I'm leaving Church A and thinking about going to Church B, what's the difference between those churches? How do they compare with one another? And so there's some questions that we can consider, because this is important when there are no problems with the church that we are at. Or we understand, well, there are going to be problems here, but there also will be problems in that other church, but maybe it's still a good idea for me to leave here to go over there. When it's not an obvious time to change, there are other questions that we need to consider. One is, where can I provide the most encouragement? We already looked at Hebrews chapter 10, how we provoke one another to love and good deeds by our assembling together. And earlier in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, it's made the same point that assembly isn't mentioned, but instead, as long as it's called today, we are to encourage one another. This is a regular encouragement. Where can I provide the most encouragement? Where can I help people the most? And there are going to be different factors that play into that. Where do I have the most influence? Where it could be a matter of location, that I live near the brethren here more so than I live near the brethren over here. So maybe I can be more of an encouragement to them. Or people who are whatever more open to our example or the words that we might say or our friendship, whatever it is. Where can I provide the most encouragement? And also another question to ask is, where can I receive the encouragement that I need? It's not selfish to think of this question. Think, where can I receive the encouragement that I need? Because even the strongest Christians, we need encouragement. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, that if you think you stand, take heed that you do not fall. Peter warned in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 that it would be possible for them to fall from their own steadfastness. They were steadfastly following God, but they could fall from that. As Paul said, you are standing right now, but you could fall from that. Where can I receive the encouragement that I need? And it could be that there are problems that exist in a certain congregation where it's more discouraging than encouraging. That there might be a discouraging situation here, but there are other people in that church who are able to encourage me. Well, then that's a factor, but maybe there's not. Maybe I can't receive the encouragement that I need. And so I can go on for a while, but eventually it's going to wear on me. Eventually it's going to start to affect my spiritual well-being. Even the strongest Christians can fall. Also, we can ask the questions, where can I be the most involved, the most effective in the work? We read already Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, how you have the body and each individual part helps the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Every part of the body is involved. So we can ask, well, where can I be the most involved? When I was younger and in school, and I would make decisions of where to go, where to attend, because there were several congregations I could have attended, I made a decision to go where I could do the most work. When I was in college, I found a small congregation because I was able to preach once a month there rather than a larger church where I might never get that opportunity. So where can we be the most effective? You might be able to teach Bible classes or to lead singing or to do things like various other things. Lots of different things we can do publicly and privately in the work of the church. Where can you be most effective? And this effectiveness and how involved we can be includes our influence. Are we able to help steer the congregation in the right direction? Or are we in a situation where maybe we are not given any consideration? Maybe if there are problems or there are issues facing the church, and we might have an opinion or an option or something that we can do to try to help, but no one's interested in listening to our opinion. That's a factor to consider as well. Where can we be most involved and most effective in the work? Because we're going to be part of that body that works together. Where can we do the most good? And also, this won't apply to everyone, but for those who are parents, what will be the impact on my children? Parents have the responsibility, especially as talked about fathers in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, to bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, that's primarily the job of the parents. It's not the job of the congregation. At the same time, we don't want our decision to stay here or to go there be detrimental to our children. We have to consider that. Now, that doesn't mean that, well, we have to leave a congregation if there are no other young people. It doesn't mean that. But we do need to make sure that whatever decision we're making is, if we're parents, with our children in mind. Where will they receive the encouragement that will supplement our efforts to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Or is it a situation where, because of the toxic nature of the church or the influences in the church, that there's going to be an opposition to our efforts to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and they're getting a negative influence, not from where we might expect it in schools or in the world, but in the church, they're getting a negative influence. We need to take that into consideration. Again, that won't apply to everyone, but for those who are parents, this is something that you need to consider. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean, well, we need to go to the church that has more young people. It doesn't mean that, or it doesn't always mean that. But we do have to consider our children. Now, finally, I want us to spend the rest of the time to think about the church at Sardis, because this example of the church in Sardis in Revelation chapter 3 is sometimes used to make the point that, well, we need to stay where we are because we can be faithful even if the church that we are part of has problems. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Lord said, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which are about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of God. So here you have a church that they're told to wake up, they needed to repent, they needed to fix things. But then in verse 4, the Lord said, but you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. This example is sometimes cited to show that we can be faithful to God even if we are in a troubled congregation. And that's true. That is true. We can be faithful to God provided we're not in fellowship with error and we're tolerating things we shouldn't tolerate. But if a congregation is facing trouble and it won't be perfect, because as we said already, every church is going to have problems, we can be faithful to God, each one of us individually, despite problems that may come up here and there in the church that we are a part of. This church in Sardis was described as being dead, and there were just few that were faithful. And so this is the argument that's made, that here you have a few people in Sardis who are faithful. The church overall was dead, but you had those few. And so we might be in a church that has all sorts of problems, but we can be faithful even remaining in that church, just like those Christians in Sardis. However, I don't know that we can prove that the situation in Sardis was the way it was often portrayed. And I'll explain that as we look at this, as we think about this. I think we need to be careful how we use the example of the church at Sardis. One thing we know from the New Testament is that a city can have more than one group or congregation of God's people. We see that especially in places where you have a lot of Christians in one location. There can be several churches, even faithful churches, in a given area, in a city or in a county where all these brethren are close enough where they are all within driving distance of one another, several churches. Well, that was also the case in the New Testament in different places, especially when you look at Rome. Paul wrote to the saints in Rome. We look at chapter 16 and verses 3 through 15, and Paul addressed several different groups, including those who were in a certain house and met in a certain house. You have different groups that it's implied that you have these various groups in the city of Rome, which would make sense because it would be a large city. And if you have several Christians there, it might be difficult for all of the Christians to gather together in one location. So there would be different ones spread out. The church Sardis that was addressed in Revelation chapter 3 was dead. We do know that. The church in Sardis that was addressed in Revelation chapter 3 was dead. However, the few in Sardis that were faithful, knowing what we know about the fact that you could have more than one congregation in the area, or even in a city, those faithful few may have been part of another group or another congregation in that city. And they just weren't part of that church that was addressed in Revelation chapter 3. And so the Lord was just pointing out there are few in Sardis who are faithful. And possibly they could have even been former members of the church that was addressed in Revelation chapter 3. And could have left because of the condition that existed in the church, that had a name that it was alive, but it was dead. Now, of course, we can't prove that that was the situation. But we also can't prove that you have the faithful few that continued to assemble and worship with and work with the dead congregation. We can't prove it one way or another. And so We need to be careful. We look at the church at Sardis not to say, well, look, you have faithful few in a dead church, and so I can stay here in the congregation where I am, regardless of what problems exist. That's not the lesson from the church at Sardis. It could have been those faithful few were still in that church. It could have been those faithful few had gone, they were still in Sardis, but they were meeting amongst themselves rather than with those who were described by Jesus as dead. Regardless of which it was, we should not use the example of the few in Sardis to justify staying with a congregation when we ought to leave. So these are some things to think about if we're considering going from one congregation to another. If there are problems, we need to evaluate that, see if we can help, we can make things better, we have influence there, we can work there to try to improve the situation. Or if maybe there's no problems, but well, here's another church, would it be better for me to stay where I am or to go to the other church? This is not a decision that should be made hastily, but it also is, at the same time, a judgment call. So we do need to be careful how we do this, how we decide about this, careful about making judgments about our decision and also decisions that others might make, because we don't want to condemn something that should not be condemned as far as another person's decision. We don't want to be quick to leave when we could have stayed and helped, but we also want to make sure we can be effective wherever we are in doing the Lord's work and helping the church where we are, whether it's where we are right now or one that we might go to. We want one where we can encourage, where we can be encouraged, where we can be involved in the work and help one another to faithfully serve the Lord. So I hope that helps answer these questions, because again, the one who asked the question, they had their particular situation that they were thinking about in that context. But really, all of us, at some point or another, we're going to think, well, would it be better for me to stay where I am or to go somewhere else? And regardless of the situation, these are some things that we can consider. So thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. And if you found this episode to be helpful, I hope you'll share it with others. And if you have a question for a future episode, there are a few different ways you can submit it. You can fill out the podcast question submission form. There will be a link in the show notes. You could also send a message to the Plain Bible Teaching Facebook page. And if you're on Twitter, you can tweet your question at Plain Bible Teach and submit your question that way. In our next episode, which will be in 2 weeks, Lord willing, we're going to be discussing a question that I've received multiple times over the last few weeks. And I don't know if there's a reason why this question has come up, but for whatever reason, it's come up multiple times over the last few weeks, both in person and submitted online. And the question is, what is the difference between a preacher and a pastor? And so, Lord willing, in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about that question to see what the New Testament says about that. So thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.